Are you ready for the Word of God? Today I'm talking about light, okay? And you're like, so what about it? Jesus talked about light a lot. So let's open our Bibles to the next scripture that's in Matthew. That's Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Ruslan last week did a great job on salt. You are the salt of the earth. Today I'm going to talk about you are the light of the world. Three questions I want to answer in the next 3 weeks. This is what Jesus said. This is his words. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Verse 15. Nor do they that light up a lamp, that's God the Father, who lights up a lamp? God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Nor do they that light up a lamp, put it under a basket. So, we have those offering baskets, right? If you put a candle, you don't put a basket over it. What happens if you do? The light is going to die because there's not enough oxygen. So the point of light is to be shining. The reason God said that you are the light is so you can give light. How simple is that? Light is supposed to give light. I hate the darkness. I hate the being in the dark places. When I was younger, I gotta admit this, I struggled with fear and I hated to be in church by myself. And I grew up around church. I was the piano player for my first church that I went to, pretty much born into. I played piano for 12 years, and I had to sometimes lock up the building or come and open it, and I would hate being the last one. I'd be like, hey, hold on, hold up, people, hold up, hold up, hold up, brothers. Maybe I watched some movies that I shouldn't have, you know. I just hated being in church by myself, even during the day, not talking during the night. And then God called me to be a pastor. Never wanted to be a pastor. Listen to me. I wanted to be a businessman. That was my thing. I was going to make a lot of money and do the business world. And then I came to this church and sat about where the, like Andre and Yana are sitting right now. And I sat there and for the first time I came to this church on Sunday night. And this woman pastor came to me and pointed finger at me and says, you're a pastor. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. You're going to pastor. And she started talking to me like that. And I'm like, what? And I fought her, and then after that, she would meet me, and she said, hey, pastor. I'm like, don't call me that. People will say, I paid you to call me a pastor. I didn't do that. And so she said I was going to be a pastor, and I'm like, no. And I fought it for like 6 months. And then finally, I said, okay, God, if you want me to be a pastor, I'm going to trust you. How can I not, right? How can you fight God? He causes you to want these desires, and then when you don't want him, he forces you like Paul. He says, Paul was persecuting the church, right? He was killing Christians. Paul of the Bible wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He was going from one city to Damascus to kill Christians. And Jesus appeared to him and says, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul says, who are you, Lord? And he says, I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to go against the spear. So Paul is standing here in front of Jesus. And Jesus is saying, here's the spear. I don't know if he held a spear or not. And Paul said, okay, fine, I surrender. So imagine one day you're persecuting and the second day you're believing and you're preaching it and then you're writing about it. How cool is that? God can do that. So that's how I felt. Some of you think I wanted to be a pastor. I didn't. I felt like you either go against the spear, and I didn't want to be away from the will of God. Being young, I knew that I wanted to be in the will of God because every time I walked away, accidents happened in my life. And I had many accidents in a young, early age because every time, and it doesn't mean that God punishes you, like if accident happened, right? But for me, that was a lesson. And I was a young Christian, and that I was maybe superstitious, but it worked. But it worked, you know? Every time something would happen, I'd be like, oh. One time I was sitting and playing piano for my church choir. And the night before, I was partying. And I met these girls. I had a boat. I was about 17, 18 years old. And I was at the lake, and these girls, you know, when you have a boat, you know, these unchristian, ungodly girls, they just want to jump in your boat like fish. Jesus, you know. You know, they say there's plenty of fish in the sea. These girls, you know, we met them and they were hanging out with us. They invited us to this party and there was just two of them and two of us, you know, party. And nothing happened, thank God. You know, Bible says, blessed is the man who does not walk in a council of ungodly. I was in the council of ungodly. Next Sunday, I have responsibility. I have to play the piano. If I don't show up, you know, the choir will not have the piano player. So I kind of had to be in church. I was forced to be in church. I'm playing piano, and I felt the presence of God. Sometimes when the band sings, you're just like, oh, hallelujah. But other times, the presence of God comes upon you, and you feel like, whoa, what's going on? Is it cold in here, or is it just me goosebumps, right? You feel the presence of God. The presence of God came on me so hard while I was playing piano. Something knocked me so hard, I lost my notes. I mean, hit me. And I looked, there's nobody there. I swear to God, that's what happened. Something knocked me in the left ribs. I lost air. I couldn't breathe. The conviction of the Holy Spirit came upon me. The best thing that happened to me, because I fear the Lord now. You need to ask for those kind of convictions from the Lord. Andre's dad, our worship pastor, Andre's dad was the choir director. And when he gets kind of mad, he gets rad. So he's going like this. He looks at me, look. Come on, what are you playing? I mean, I lost it. I lost it for a moment. And then a fear of the Lord came to me, and the last night came up. Like the last night flashed before my eyes in a moment. And the Lord said, you can't do that. You can't be doing that and this. Choose 100% here or there. And I was like, okay, Lord, I repent. I'm playing, I'm repenting. I'm repenting. Shabba shabba. I'm repenting. I know the Lord is real. It was not the Lord. Probably the angels were sent there to smack me a little bit. Thank God it wasn't my head, because the brains could have. Not that smart anyway. Darkness. I hated darkness. And listen to me. I was afraid of demons, like most people. But I also was afraid of God. You know that God is holy? And when you encounter God, you think you're going to be all happy? You're going to hit the floor. You're going to bite the dust. I mean, some of you never really experienced God yet. Because if you do, Isaiah, when he saw the Lord, not saw the Lord, he saw the glory of the Lord, not the Lord himself. He fell on the floor and he says, woe to me, because I'm a man of unclean lips. Right away, whatever, God is so perfect. When you look at his glory, you see your imperfection, and that brings dread to you. That brings fear unto you. So I was afraid of God and I was afraid of the devil. I said, I'm a pastor. I can't be preaching against fear and have fear in my life. So one day I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do something. I'm going to come to church at night at 11 p.m. and I'm going to stay by myself here till I conquer this fear. And you got to imagine, Lord has been working with me, trying to deliver me from this unusual fear that I had. And one night I came here at about 11 and I started praying in the basement, just praying. I mean, I've had all kinds of spiritual attacks. And what I mean by the fear attacks, have you ever been scared? And you went, and like your hair kind of feels like weird. I've had those moments come in like a wave. Fear just would come in, and for hours. So what I would do is, I would try to fight it. I grew up Pentecostal, so I was like, in the name of Jesus, you gotta go. The more I would yell at those fear attacks that would come on me, the more they would come. And then the Lord said, stop yelling, because you're yelling out of fear. It's the fight or flight. You're trying to attack, and you don't need to fight the devil. He's been defeated. I did that for you. And he said, just command softly, gently. And I said, in the name of Jesus, Satan, you have no power over me. You need to go. Just that simple. And victory came. But by the time I looked at the clock, it was 7 in the morning. Victory came at 7 in the morning. I had to fight people. I sweated. I feared. I mean, my hair was probably spiky, not because I put gel in it. But I had victory. You know what Apostle Paul says? You have not fought until blood yet against sin. You want victory? You're going to have to do something, because faith without works is dead. There is no faith. And God says, I'll give you the victory. I'll teach you how to have victory. But listen, I won't just take it away like this. You need to fight against some of those things. What are your addictions? What are the things that are still holding you, binding you? Thank you, Lord. He's speaking to somebody right now. God wants to set you free, but you're going to be involved in that process. in that freedom process. God wants to set you free. God wants to set your relatives free, but you're going to be involved in that. Amen. Let's go back to the light message. Hallelujah. Somebody needed to hear that. Somebody's walking in fear. Somebody is addicted, and God wants to set you free, and you're going to need to do something. You got to say, enough is enough. That's it. It's over. Preaching to myself as well. Hallelujah. So today, my message has three questions that I want to answer in the next 3 weeks. Question number one, what is light? Question number two, how do we get this light in us? And question number three, what are we commanded to do with this light? Let's read the scripture again. You are the light of the world. A city that is set out on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light up a lamp and put it under the basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Amen. What is this light that Jesus is talking about? Obviously, he's not talking about you being a light bulb and walking around and you go into a dark room and everything shines. That would be kind of spooky and nuclear, you know? That's not what he's talking about. So what is he talking about? Well, let me present to you this idea. That in the universe, there are two types of light. There is physical light. That's the light we see. The light that comes like from X-ray machine. Light from microwave. There's different light, right? So we put it in one category. That's a physical thing. We can test, we can see. Scientists can do that, and I love science. Hallelujah. Because science doesn't contradict the Bible, it just fulfills it. Maybe not this year, maybe in 10 years, more things, but always I see. If some of you want to read an article that I wrote on virgin birth a few years ago, you'd be fascinated, I think, because it's science and Bible coming together. I titled it this way, Virgin Birth is Not a Miracle, it's a Total Possibility. So if you want to go to my blog and read that, you can see how science and the Bible come together. Love science. Hallelujah. And a lot of times Christians, we get accused that we hate science. That's a lie. No, we love science because science is a study of God's creation. I want to know God's creation. I want to observe God's creation. Hallelujah. So there are two different types of light in the universe. There is a physical light that I just explained. And there is also a spiritual light. Physical light comes from natural sources like the sun, the stars, light bulbs, sparks, fire, or energy fusions, right? So light comes from these different and many other ones as well. Spiritual light comes from a spiritual source who is God Himself. In order for the universe to exist and life to survive on planet Earth, we need spiritual light and physical light. For example, what would happen if we would take away all light from our planet, from our universe? What would happen to planet Earth? We would freeze to death. Thank you. We would, right? Nothing could be able to grow. So we need physical light in order to live. Also, and many of you don't think about this, but we need also spiritual light in order to live as well, for this world to work. If you take away spiritual light from this world, what would happen? It would go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Now, let me explain something to you. That this light that God said, let there be light on the first day God said that, was not the light that came from sun and the stars. Because on day 4, God created sun, moon, and the stars. So what is this light that God created on the first day before he created anything? It's the spiritual life that he put into this universe. Watch this. I'm going somewhere. I got a big revelation of this. Amen. Spiritual light is the foundation of all creation. You needed spiritual light to create plants, fish, animals, stars, human beings. You needed spiritual light. So this world is created not just with physical light to make us exist and survive. This world is also created with the spiritual light as the foundation. Now, if you remove the light, spiritual light, because that's what we mostly talk about when Jesus said, you are the light of the world, what happens to the earth? It goes back to pre-creation condition. And the earth was without form and void. You know what those words mean? They mean destruction, chaos. Now, let me just say there was a Big Bang. And God used Big Bang, which I don't believe in. I want to tell you right away. So let's say there's this Big Bang. Big Bang created chaos, right? So let's say there was chaos. And God said to chaos, let there be light. And God separated light from darkness. The light that and darkness that he's talking about here is the chaos. So if light of God is not present in your life or in our world becomes chaotic. You see what I mean? If you don't have the light of God in your life becomes chaotic. Hallelujah. We're not talking about physical light. So when Jesus said, you are the light of the world, without you, the world becomes chaotic. You know, Christianity gets accused of being caused too many problems in the world. But Jesus said, serve. Love your neighbor as yourself. Christianity gave so many good things to the world. That God created man in his own image, in his own likeness, equal. Christianity, the Bible gave us so much. Now, some things the world accepts, obviously, like doing good works. But other things they don't accept, but that doesn't make them untrue. They are true, just believe it or not. Talking about that light, order. A lot of people come to me, and even my own relatives sometimes come to me and say, Alex, you know what? Why do we need Christianity anyway? People who are without God are just as good and moral. How many of you heard that? We don't need God. And you know what? I've used this example before, but I want to talk about it again. Without light, without Christianity, this world would be in chaos and destruction. Let's look at this good world we talk about. You know, we say this world is good. And in this category, I'm going to give you a few examples. All of us are going to find ourselves here. So don't point fingers or anything like that. If this world is so good, because people say most people are good, right? It's the product of our environment. Things that we grew up with. It's those influences. And that might be true as well, because the Bible says the curses of parents, the behavior of parents, negative behavior, the destructive behavior of parents does what? Goes into the children and children up to third and fourth generation. And that's what the Bible says a curse. But we can just say destructive behavior. What is curse? It's destruction. It's chaos. It's disorder. And I want to answer to those people who say, without God, people are just as good as well. Well, let's look at our society. Just in America, 1 out of 3 women have been sexually abused. 1 out of 5 boys have been sexually abused, molested, raped. Tell me, this world is such a good place. Now, nobody talks about those things, but it happens all the time. So many women have been raped. Men too, but women have been raped. I mean, let me give you some more statistics. Can I? I just pulled this out from Journal of Marital and Family Therapy from Associated Press. Study research was done on 9/8/2012. And listen, all of us can find somewhere ourselves here. Because our believers and unbelievers come from darkness. Except believers walk into the light now, walking into the light. Unbelievers are still in darkness. So let me read to you. Marital infidelity statistics, can I? Percentage of men who admitted committed infidelity in any relationship they've had, 57%. That's the most despicable thing you can do, and people do it all the time. David did it. God, man after God's own heart. The guy in the Bible who we're supposed to look up with did it. Percentage of women who admit to committed infidelity in any relationship they've had, 54%. See, we're all that good. We just don't go into our secret life. All of our families have mess inside of them. We all got pain. And kids grow up and we start blaming our parents. And why? We live in the most safe, healthy, longevity-wise country in the world. The richest country in the world. Why are we so messed up? 90% of men struggle with pornography. Let me give you even worse statistics. Percentage of men who say they would have an affair if they knew they wouldn't get caught, 74%. And we're just these good people. We're so good. No, we're all come out of darkness. Without God, we're all in dirt. Percentage of women who say they would have an affair if they knew they wouldn't get caught, 68%. More statistics here. I'm not going to have time to read them. We say people are fine without God. No, they're not. So Jesus knows that this world is going to be destructed even more. Like in the day of Sodom and Gomorrah, like in the day of Noah. He says you need to be the light of the world. You need to shine. And yes, people might not like your light. If I look at this bright thing, I squint a little bit. But boy, look at what it does. It exposes everything. I can see where I'm going. I can see how to walk and where not to walk. So God, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. City that is set on a hill. Why? So you can shine bright and brag about it? No. So the world that's in darkness could see the light, could see their own deeds. And they could come to God. So listen, Christianity improves the world. True Christians, not religious Christians, but true Christians improve the world. Wives, you know what's going to protect your husband from infidelity? It's not that you're going to catch him. It's not fear of society, because we don't fear society anymore. We're so unique and individual. You know, we're special. We can do that. You know, I can go on a red light because I'm special. My mama told me so. And a prophet came to church and said, oh, you're a big shot. All that in a bag of chips, right? Oh, hallelujah, you're all big and stuff. Now, not diminishing prophecies. There's some good prophets, but Bible says test the prophecies, okay? If they puff you up and you become more proud than you started, or something's wrong with that. You know what will protect your husband from committing affair? Your boyfriend from committing affair? Fear of the Lord. Walking in the light. That's the only thing. You know what can protect your wife? Fear of the Lord. Don't drag your husband into the world, because he might get what's in the world. These statistics. Influence. Pull. Drag is a bad word. Drag is only to the world, not to God. Influence, pull your children, your family into God, because that's where the light is. And when light comes in, order comes in. So when God says to the darkness of the earth in Genesis, let there be light, he says, order, come. Order, come. So when God comes in into your life, he takes a book that's been ripped off the pages, all messed up, and he puts it, page 1, 2, 3, puts it in order. Others can read the book of your life and say, wow, look what the Lord has done. Some of you just started coming to church, listen. I know you still got chaos maybe in your life from what happened before, but listen, God is going to put everything in order. Just trust him. Just trust him for long enough for him to do his work in you. And the work that he began, he will complete it. We never become perfect, but we are always perfected from one level to another to another. Hallelujah. God made you light so you can shine. He says, I didn't light you up so I can put you under the basket. I wanted you to shine for everyone to see. Hallelujah. How many of you lied in the last 6 months? How many of you have lost it in the last 6 months? How many of you have been jealous, greedy, hateful, spiteful, on and on? And I could start talking about that's the works of darkness. And God says, no, you're not in darkness anymore. If you're a believer, you're in light. Start walking because your new identity is light. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's talk more about this light. Not physical light, but spiritual light. When we see a person who's good and kind and helpful and loving, what do we say about that person? That person is full of light. When we see a person, like the guy in Cleveland, like kidnaps 3 young girls and keeps them, beats them, chains them, enslaves them for 10 years. Did you know that he got 1,000 years without parole? He pleaded guilty. Otherwise, he would have got death. Maybe he'll come to God in prison. I don't know. Hopefully, he repents, because God can forgive even him, although he'll never come out and hurt people again. Hallelujah. But we say that person is full of darkness. So you see the difference now between physical light and spiritual life. Life is associated with life. Darkness is associated with death. You know that hell has no light in it. Jesus said hell is a place in the utter darkness. You know, this world without God is dark, but it's not as dark as hell, because this world still has lights in it. It still has godly people in it, plus God created this world with light. So this world has light, although people choose the dark side of the moon. Genesis verse 4:1-4. And God separated light from darkness. Why did he do that? Why not just have everything light so you can have a free will? You can choose to live on the dark side or on the light side of God, of this planet that he created. Not talking about sunlight. Not talking about sunlight. 4. And God saw light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. So you have a free will. Where do you want to live? So God prepared that. And you know what? The world chooses to live where? In darkness. And we must go into the world where the darkness is, because Jesus came into the world where darkness is. And he says, be the light. So people will see the light and get the light themselves. Hallelujah. Are you getting this? Hallelujah. So what is spiritual light? I already said light is the foundation of life on earth, okay, and in the universe. Light is spiritual force. That's what it is. You can't see it, but you can see its reaction, or you can see the effects. You know, you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. You can't see this light, but you can see the effects of it. What are the effects of our light? Matthew 5, verse 16, I believe. It says this, let your light shine before men. Some people say to you, you're a Christian? Well, be Christian in your own house. Be Christian in your own heart. What does Jesus say? Verse 16, let your light shine before men so they would see what? Notice, they won't see your light. They will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Meaning, they'll come to know him as well and glorify him. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to clap. I'm excited. Woo. Hallelujah. So listen, as a Christian, you're not to be hidden under a basket. You are to go and show that light. You're to go and live a life of good works. You should be different. And listen, next week I'm going to touch up on those other points of what does it mean to do good works. You'd be surprised what it is. Some people think we need to become a Red Cross. I don't think Jesus wanted us to become a Red Cross. So be here next week. I'll tell you what it is, what good works. So what does the light represent? It represents order. Everything that is good, transparent, intelligent. In the Bible, light represents salvation, truth, life, God's presence, and favor. Hallelujah. Did you know that God is light? Guys, let's put 1 John 1:5 so people would know I'm telling the truth. This is the message which we have heard. This is John talking about what he heard from Jesus, disciple of Jesus. Heard from him and declared to you that God is light and in him there is no darkness. So God is order and in him there is no disorder. There's no chaos. Okay? Let's go for another verse. 1 Timothy 6:16. Paul is writing about God and says, who alone has immortality, dwelling in an unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Another scriptures, James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. That's above me a little bit. But we know that God is a Father of light. Heaven is a place of color and light and beauty. Earth is just a shadow, Bible says, of things to come. So if this is the shadow, and I've been in Dominican, it's beautiful. I've been in Hawaii, and it's beautiful. Not bragging or anything, been in other places. But, and Bible says this is just a shadow. And my mind goes, oh, this is so beautiful. I want to live here. I don't want to go home. And you know I can't skip more than one Sunday in a row. So I have to be here next Sunday. So I can't even skip for 2 weeks. I can't even stay anywhere for 2 weeks. I have to come back. Hallelujah. So God is full of light. Amen. I mean, people who Paul writes, he says, when he'd been, one time Paul, Apostle Paul, was stoned to death. And people thought he died already, and he probably did. And his spirit went to third heaven, he says. He says he saw things that he cannot even describe. He heard things he could not describe, the beauties. And people who've experienced clinical death, they said they see crazy things. Even one of our friends, I don't know if he's here. He's not here today. He had a terrible motorcycle accident just last spring, year and a half, 3 months ago. And he said he died. And he said he went to hell and he stood in the light. And he said, people tell me I'm crazy, but I know what I saw. I know what I saw. I read his story from the news article, and he says, and the sheriff said that his body was so like messed up that they thought that was like life-threatening injuries, like he will not survive. But he's alive today and works hard. If you want to know his name, I'll tell you his name. You can go, although he's moving. But he told me about that. He says, nobody believes me. He says, my girlfriend doesn't believe me. But he said, I know what I saw. And there's other people who saw things, who died, but they were revived or came back somehow. And don't want to talk about that because that's not in the Bible. However, we know that what Paul wrote is in the Bible, so we can say it is true. Amen. And John, the Revelator, book of Revelation, you know, he has a little glimpse of eternity, and it's beautiful, colorful, amazing. Hallelujah. I got so much to say in this series. I'm going to talk about light for 3 weeks, two more weeks, okay? So be here next week. Invite somebody. This is more for the mature Christians. So if you just started coming, maybe you're not getting everything, it's okay. You'll get there. You'll get there. Just keep coming, and God is going to wash you with his word, and you'll understand everything. In the fall again, September 8th, we're going to start a little softer series, so more evangelistic. We want to reach lots of people in this city for Jesus, so get ready. September 8th is the day when we start inviting people, 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. September 15th is our kickoff. So we're going to have hamburgers. We're going to have inflatables in the parking lot. I mean, we're gonna do it cool. Amen? Hallelujah. Were you guys glad you were here today? All right, bless God.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. I believe that the words of Jesus spoke directly to your heart, and now you have an opportunity to respond. You can do that by praying a simple prayer. Jesus, save me, forgive me, and draw me closer to you. If you prayed this prayer, or if these messages had some impact in your life, would you consider sharing your testimony on our homepage? Your stories encourage others as we bring people closer to Jesus.